Shalom and welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today we reach one of my favorite Mizmorim, Psalm 13. The one in which when people ask me, what should I say when I'm in pain, when there's crisis, when I'm struggling, I immediately go to 13. It's one of the shortest Mizmorim and it will take us the longest time to analyze. So bear with me. I call this Mizmor Singing in Adversity as the title. Lamanatzeach Mizmula David. Ad ana Adonai tishkacheni netzach. Ad ana tastir et panecha mimeni. Ad ana yashit et zot benafshi yagon blaviva yomam. Ad ana yarum oivi alai. The first section says, for the Menatzeach, a psalm of David. Until when, God, will you ever forget me? Until when will you hide your face from me? Until when must I seek counsel in my soul and find sorrow in my heart by day? Until when will my enemies rise above me? The second section calls out to God. Habita aneni Adonai Elohai, ha'ira enai penishan amavet, pen yomar oivai yichaltiv, tzara yagilu ki amot. Please look upon me and answer me, God, oh my Lord. Please lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him. My oppressors rejoice when I falter. And now the final pasuk. Va'ani b'chastacha batachti. Yagel libi b'shuatecha. Ashira l'adonai ki gamal alai. But I have put my trust in your loving kindness. My heart will rejoice through your salvation. I hope to sing out to God, saying he has bestowed the good unto me. Well, it starts out in a typical Davidic psalm. He starts out in pain, until when will you hide your face? And he ends up, Ani b'chasdecha, I trust you. Starting out in despair, ending up in ecstasy, the psalm is written in a style with which we're familiar. But I have a question. Is David describing to us a happy ending to his miserable situation? Or is his miserable situation at center stage and the optimistic ending is just some kind of Hail Mary so as not to depress us? In the end, my question is this song a happy one or a sad one? The specific question might be filled part of a greater issue. Often we find the psalm resembling the proverbial half-filled, half-empty cup of water. Part of the psalm has David depicting his ailments, enemies, loneliness, or sinful guilt, while the second half has the king rejoicing in God's kindness, happy in God's salvation, and believing in God's providence. Which one is the primary focus? Is David out to justify his difficult spiritual fervor through publicizing his adversity? Or is he attempting to impart his confidence in his faith in God by showing the extent of his trouble? Or is it both? If we were to look at the numbers of the psalm and the amount of psukim that are stacked up versus the other, then Psalm 13 is one of despair. Ad matai, until when, takes center stage. It initiates the psalm and continues four times in succession, and we feel the pain. And only in the last line of the six-verse psalm does the tide turn to a positive note. The Midrash concurs, saying that this does not offer us solace, this mizmor, but comments on the inevitability of suffering when it comes in the form of retribution. God said, says the Midrash, just as I said, until when, concerning the sins of the children of Israel, they will too be destined to say, ad ana, until when, during their exiles. The Midrash counts four times in the Torah when the children of Israel were complaining and Hashem said, ad ana, ad ana, ad ana, ad ana. In Exodus 16, in Numbers 14, in Numbers 14 again, and in Numbers 14, 27. In response, says God, I shall hand them over to four kingdoms so that they will shout out four times, ad ana, until when, God, will you forget me? The first time, it corresponds to the Babylonian rule. The second time, until when will you hide your face from me, is the Persian rule. The third time, until when I seek counsel in my soul and find sorrow in my heart, is the Greek Empire. And until when my enemies rise above me, that's Edom, the Roman Empire. So as to fulfill the verse which states in Zechariah, just as I called you and you did not answer, so too shall you call and I will not respond. What a powerful midrash in Tanchuma. Working off the fourfold repetitive nature of the statement Ad Ana, until when, our rabbis found a literary parallel to four times God had to wait for his nation. The end result has David foreshadowing the future punishment for the misdeeds of history. Now, the correlation between the four kingdoms in chronology to the four sentences of David fits very nicely into the specific historical theme that the empire represented to the Jewish people. After all, Babel represented a time when the question of why has God forgotten us was uttered by those who experienced the terror of destruction, the Beis HaMikdash. In this respect, the addition of the word Netzach in this first line aims to psychologically imbalance the witnesses to this horror. To them, it is endless. God will not remember. The second period, that of the Persian rule, the Jews being in exile, living in the Persian colonies, reminds us of the Purim story, a time of Hester Panim, when God's face is hidden. The theme of Mordechai and Esther is a response to the anonymity of God in the life of the Jew, and therefore it fits in very nicely with until when will you hide your face from me? When we think of Greece, we think of their culture. The adversity did not come by the way of physical danger, but spiritual assimilation. The fear was not external, but internal to the Jew, and it affected the meaning of being Jewish. This corresponds, perhaps, to the most ambiguous of lines in the poem, which could be translated as follows. Until when will I have foreign thoughts penetrating my soul, which trouble me daily? The meaning of the verse could relate to the influence of Greek culture as the Hellenization of Jews permeated throughout the psalm, the empire. Finally, the fourth kingdom, Edom, which is associated with Roman Empire, represented the enemy par excellence. Titus fought against the Jews and their God. The arrogance of the Roman army led them and their lineage to become the adversary of the Jew for generations, thus corresponding to Ad Ana Yarom Oivi Alai, until when will my enemies rise above me? In this regard, we can see the psalm as an answer, albeit a sad one, to suffering and pain. God says, you deserve it. Rashi accepts this approach, stating in the first four times the phrase until when appears corresponding to the four exiles and subjugations to the aforementioned four kingdoms. He adds that the message of David is for all of Israel, reminding us the sins of the past, lest we repeat them in the future. An alternative position to accepting a negative attitude as the central motif is to focus on the positive side of the psalm, the last line. David comes to teach us that though the present seems bleak due to the pressures surrounding him, the future looks bright with the knowledge alone that God will provide. By setting up a long-winded, detailed analysis of his problems, one would be conditioned towards impending doom in David's life. Indeed, even the imagery used by the psalmist paints a dark and dismal picture. God's face is hidden. David yearns for him to look at him, habita. He asks God to enlighten him, lest he fall into a continuous dormant state. David has led us into this psychological dungeon, and we expect to never escape, certainly not unscathed. But perhaps this is the purpose of the psalm. Perhaps the lopsidedness comes to teach us that the numbers don't matter. Only one thing matters. Faith in God. V'ani b'chasdecha batachti. David's vote of confidence manifests itself in these three words. It has a ring to it. It sounds full of confidence. A chant. V'ani b'chasdecha batachti. On a purely technical level, there's an alliteration to the phrase. V'ani b'chasdecha batachti. It feels good to say it. There's also a significant pause in the poetry. This is a technical tool that's used in poetry to shift the meter and shift the rhythm so that we force to slow down. Until the final verse, you can find the meter of 4 feet in each double line, a tetrameter. Ad ana Hashem tishkacheni netzach, ad ana tastir et panecha mimeni, habita aneni Hashem elokai, ha'ira enai. It's kind of growing and building up, and you feel like this marching of enemies on your doorstep. Verse 6, though, the verse of faith, forces us to measure three separate units and begin with a shift in the rhythm. Vani bachastecha batachti. And I, in your kindness, trust. That pause or slowing down of the meter aims to strengthen or emphasize the transition taking place in the poem. Here, the transition lies within the word vani. What does this word in the poetry investigated come to teach us? On the one hand, the vani comes to reject all that has been stated. Amos Chacham translates the vav as a contrasting vav. But I. So David discards all of the complaints of the past. On the other hand, the slowing down of our pronunciation of these three words forces the reader to pause and think about these three words. Vani bechastecha batach. Both ideas together represent the turning point for the poet and the reader. The second verse, Yagel libi mishuatecha, my heart shall rejoice in your salvation, also includes a 3-foot meter as opposed to the previous verses. We are forced to read the verse in accentuated detail. In the context of the psalm, the set comes to literally combat his culminating fear of Tsarai Yagilu Kiemot, my enemies will rejoice, for I will falter. It's not uncommon to use wordplay to bring up or reject an idea mentioned earlier in the poem. Finally, David will now sing the song to God. Not only has he escaped his predicament, but also he has found the ability to rejoice and sing to God. It's as if David has just been shown a sign by God. His heart begins to dance in knowing that help is on the way. Interestingly enough, the meter reverts to a 4-foot line. Ashir la Adonai ki gamal alai. I will sing to God, for he has answered my call. This reminds us of the rest of the poem with its rhythmic and rhyming chant. Perhaps it instructs the reader to read the beginning with newfound understanding of the ending. In sum, we have posed 2 theories about the nature of the psalm. The first, that the feeling of despair and abandonment from God, as well as the harassment by the enemies, is the focus of the mizmor. Sometimes when things are not going your way, you need to an outlet to understand why, to express yourself, to hear if you are unreasonable, or to call out to someone so anyone can offer an answer. Our sages understand that according to this approach, David already had his answer. The 4 Ad-Anas correspond to God asking the same question to the children of Israel. In this regard, the final line is a quest, a yearning for a ray of light to battle its way into his dungeon. Trust in God will bring him a day when he can look back rejoicing in his heart and perhaps be able to sing a new song, but not now. Alternatively, we suggested the possibility that the psalm is really about faith. It's about believing in God, rejoicing in impending salvation, and being capable of composing a new song to God in the face of adversity that is very much a part of the present. Perhaps, we said, the number of gloomy sentences that outweigh the happy ones by many teaches us the antithesis about playing the numbers game. Perhaps David knew all along, and the artistic form of his poem added to its dramatic message. Maybe he came to the realization only in the middle of it, thinking it through. Wallowing in loss and abandonment, he realized, and therein did not lie his salvation. But I, in your faith, will trust. He stopped his train of thought in his tracks and made him take a spiritual about face. Yet there is a third option, and a fourth, and a fifth, and a sixth, but here's what I suggest. Let's combine the 2 previous positions. There are multiple truths. We should not accept David's bleak outlook as a fait accompli without acknowledging the end result. At the same time, we should not disregard the feelings of abandonment and loneliness. They are the source of his writing the psalm. We could say that the 2 together form a unit of catharsis. David, feeling low and alone, describes his feelings of despair, and in so doing, arrives at the antithetical conclusion to wallow in self-pity he can do. But to have faith in God, despite the adversity, that is not an easy task, but ultimately, the true path and the most rewarding. Either way, the message is clear. Faith, conviction, salvation. Despite the adversity, in spite of the adversity, only this way will the song he aims to sing be truly a song of praise to God. Shalom.